even though you knew what you were in for. But we've come here to worship God, haven't we? And we've done that in our songs and our prayer, and thanking God for what we have, the blessings of a wonderful country, and the privileges of being able to do what we're doing today without fear. We sang How Great the Lord Is, an appropriate song. Richard, appreciate you leading that. And then we sang about the Lord again in our second song. And then we sang about Sing and Be Happy. And if ever anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be us, because of where we're going to go. I remember working, I said, when I worked for a living at Caterpillar, when we got close to our vacation time, the first 2 weeks in August, the anticipation was great. Man, you couldn't wait. June, July, come on, August. And then 2 weeks, I ruined it by doing a countdown, 12 more days, 9, 4, 2. I couldn't enjoy the vacation for seeing it come to an end. But heaven's not going to be like that, is it? You think you have, well, I'm having a good day, good week, good month. But uh-oh, what's going to prop up next? What's going to be a roadblock in the way? But we can't worry about that, because we got a blessing here on earth, don't we? And we've got a God that loves us and cares for us and wants us to go to heaven. And he's already proven that, hadn't he? John 3 and verse 16, and you already know what that says. So we read in our scriptures, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Isn't that what Genesis 1:1 says? In the beginning, God. I said I could have saved NASA trillions of dollars. I would have taken half what they'd spent and wondered where we came from. I could have told them, just open your Bible. And the astronauts that landed on the moon, what did they read? They read the first 10 or so verses of the book of Genesis. That was back in the day when they could do that sort of thing without offending somebody by reading the scriptures. Not so anymore. Talking about evidences today. What God has created, how great thou art. And we're just going to touch the hem of the garment this afternoon. Atheism's evidence, their evidences. Here's their definition. It is the belief that there was nothing, and that nothing happened to nothing, then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything. Then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits, which then turned into dinosaurs and frogs and minnows and flies and fleas and birds and fish. All of that from nothing. What do you know about nothing? From nothing comes what? Nothing. But not if you're a genius atheist. From nothing comes all of this. Eyes that see, ears that hear, teeth, a tongue. Sometimes we take these blessings for granted. Take something away. One of these blessings, which one would you take away? Your eyesight? Hearing, some of us as we get older, sometimes sooner than later. Huh? Which blessing you want to take away? Walking? Just saying. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? From nothing comes all of this. What did David say twice? Psalm 14 and verse 1, and I think 53 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart what? There is no God. And when God calls you a fool, there's no doubt about it. Somebody said, you're a fool if you do that. Well, don't take much stock in that sort of language. But when God says it, there's no doubt about it. The theory of evolution is widely believed and defended, hadn't it? In my lifetime, really being pushed. Cartoons, we talked about things on movies on television. What are they pushing? Evolution, evolution, as we'll see. Listen to what was in the Fort Wayne newspaper a few years ago. See if this makes sense. A few billion. We don't deal in billions much, do we? A few, except the national debt, which is past that, isn't it? A few billion years ago, back when Earth was new. So it had a beginning. But you know, from nothing comes... Oh. Rivers roll down from barren... What does barren mean? You go to land that's barren, there's nothing there, right? From barren mountains into great dead seas. Admitting. Rainstorms squalled and lightning flashed. Lava hissed and spewed from giant volcanoes. Nothing lived. Do you see those words? Barren, dead, nothing lived on that long ago earth. But the oceans were astir with promise. What? Dead, barren, nothing lived. But there was hope. They swirled and simmered. A primordial had looked at. It means had all the elements, that kind of a soup. All the elements that held the raw materials of life. Barren, non-living, dead. But there was life. Somehow, notice the definitive nature of this explanation. Somehow, probably in the first billion years of our world's existence, that promise was fulfilled. A nondescript glob. Students, is that really satisfying you in school? A nondescript glob of chemicals crossed some vague and wondrous boundary to become the first living thing. Yes, sir, from nothing came life. They're still trying to find out where it came from, where nothing. From such unfeeling chemicals, another term, negative term, Earth eventually filled with a teeming diversity of life. From nothing, we have all of this that you now see. And here, when we walked out of the door this morning, what did we hear? The birds. The beautiful sound. From all of this, the diversity of life from microbes to men. Yep, I'll just shut the lights off and let's go home. That's where we came from. From nothing. And the earth just happened to be here. Really? Really? Does that settle it for you? Should we just, throw away the Bible? In the beginning, God, that's a laugh. Because we all know we came from nothing. Because from billions of years ago, when everything was dead and barren and non-living. Yeah. Again. Got that memorized? One of the first verses we memorized when we were kids, wasn't it? In the beginning, God. That settles it, doesn't it? That settles it. That's why they're still calling it the theory of evolution. It's not the fact. It's not been proven. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all of their host, and we're going to find out about those hosts. The earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The angels. 33:6, well, we read that, so we'll go on. Exodus 20, verses 9 through 11. 6 days. You know there are some preachers even in the church that are not sure how long it took the Lord to make it. One preacher said, college professor, that God couldn't have done it in 6 24-hour days. The president of that college where that preacher was preaching said God could have done it in a heartbeat if he'd have chosen to do that. Yet they allowed that man to continue teaching some four ways of creation. When those students go back home, he said, "You pick one." Excuse me? "In 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughters, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in what? 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth." Twice in one verse. 6 days. How many? Six. Some thinking, well, yeah, there were six 24-hour days, but in between those days, there were great gaps of billions of years. We'll see about that. Or that each day wasn't 24 hours, it was billions of years. You can make up your mind which. But God couldn't have done it in six 24-hour days. Exodus 31, same thing. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel." That's why we don't do that. It was a sign between God and them. "Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth." How many times, God, do you have to say that? "Well, I don't think you can do it in six. In the image of man create we God. I couldn't have done it, so God couldn't have done it." Mark 10 and verse 6. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." If on the sixth day, which was billions of years from the first day, if that's so, if each day was a literal billions of years, or in between each 24-hour day there were billions of years, then six of those billions of years, God created man. That is a lie. But from the beginning, That can't be right if man's theories are right. Let's see, man or God, which one are you going to choose? Time's up. I know who you chose. John 8 and verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." After 7 billions of years, Cain killed Abel. But this says from the beginning. I don't consider billions of years later from being from the beginning, do you? And does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Where he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, that is the devil. You want to be of your father, the devil? I just explained it, doesn't it? Evolution, that's how I pronounce it. Because it's nothing but pure, unadulterated evil. After billions of years, he lied to Eve. It wasn't from the beginning, was it? People, evolution is true. The Bible is a fairy tale. And that's what most people want to believe. Mr. Bill O'Reilly, who's written the book The Killing of Jesus, doesn't believe in the miracles. You believe it all or you don't believe it. Can I be a theistic evolutionist? Oh, God's created everything, but then just let it go and here we evolved to what we have now. That's so we can get along with the evolutionists. So they won't think, "Well, you guys are crazy." I sat at Greencastle, Indiana, DePaul University, about 300 college kids, and one fellow they'd brought from Canada to speak about evolution and creation. He had those 300 students laughing at creationists. They believe in some force out there. Do you have enough faith to be an evolutionist? Do you? It takes more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to believe in the God. Luke chapter 11, verse 50, beginning, "That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation." From the blood of Abel. Was that in the beginning? Not if it were billions of years later. Mm-mm. Abel was a prophet, we learn. His blood was shed from the foundation of the world, the beginning. Not, as we said, if it were so many years later. If each day was millions or billions of years, God lied again to us. We can't believe it. And that's what we've said. Even preachers in the church who have a doubt that there was a serpent in the garden. Not sure there was a serpent. Okay, you can't believe that. What else can't you believe? It wasn't 6 days. There wasn't a serpent. Where do you stop? Verse 9 here says at the bottom, "For he spoke and it was done." Not begun. Didn't just begin and then evolve. It was done. Adam didn't walk like this. Did he? And then, oh, here we are. Destroys it, doesn't it? Sure does. The accuracy of the book of Acts. We'll just look at these things. What Luke wrote. You know our critics going line by line, word by word in the Bible, Old and New Testament, looking for errors. They have tried for centuries to find a mistake. And oh, if they could. Remember they said the Hittite nation? There was no Hittite nation. Did you know what they found out with their little toothbrushes and little paintbrushes? They found the Hittite nation. Every time man has said, God was wrong, your God was wrong. Eventually, look here. There wasn't a man named Pilate in Jerusalem, they said. Then all of a sudden, they unearthed a little plaque, and there was his name. Do you hear, well, we were wrong. Don't hear that, do you? The accuracy of the Bible, it doesn't begin with this, does it? In a land. Therefore, doesn't use mythical characters, does it? Talk about Never Never Land. Does it? No. It gives names and places and dates and every city, every area, they have checked it out to see. And did you know when the Bible says they went up to Jerusalem? We go north, we say, oh, I'm going up north, or I'm going down south. They literally went up. And they didn't have all the instruments now that we can tell whether we're going up to the Mile High City or whatever. But every time the Bible says down, they went down. When they went up, they went up. How did they know? Just got lucky? External evidence, Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, but showeth his work. Indeed it does. When you look around you, what's going to happen here in a few weeks? Trees are going to begin to bud out. Isn't that beautiful? When they start, there's hope of spring. Even the birds today, how beautiful that sounded. Even though probably Wednesday we're going to get baptized again. But the little crocus are going to put their little heads up, aren't they? Oh, we're getting closer. Beauties, the beauties of earth. Take time to smell roses, will you? What God has created. Did you know? What if I told you? Well, we had roads and we had different cities, places, and we didn't get off of that road onto another road to go to this city, to go to Cleveland or down south to Cincinnati, and all of a sudden, you'd say, you need to go back to the farm, the funny farm. You think that just appeared? There were no engineers? that just started growing because it evolved from the other highways? Did it? Or is there a designer? You know what they tell us? Oh, you people believe in a design. And since there's a design, there has to be a designer. Absolutely. Where'd these chairs? What if I told you these chairs? Well, when you moved in, you didn't have any, and one Wednesday you saw four legs, and then Sunday there was a seat, and then next Wednesday there was a back. Yeah, duh. And it was dark in here on Sunday. Well, maybe on Wednesday night. So you had to have, look what popped out of the ceiling. Wow, isn't that something? From nothing. Hey, that's where it came from. The Milky Way galaxy. Spend some time on this. This is just awesome to me. The galaxy, which is the home of our solar system, from the sun to Pluto. Now I hear there's another planet way, way on out past Pluto. Is that right? Do you hear that too? More recent estimates have given numbers around 400 billion stars in our galaxy. 400 billion in our galaxy alone. Our solar system is in the exact place it has to be in our galaxy. Or it would be pulled apart by gravity. It's the exact same place. Our sun is just the right size and distance from the earth. What if we were closer? You talk about crispy critters. What if we were farther away? Whew. Global warming, we'd be praying for it, wouldn't we? But we're right in the exact spot. Not to mention the earth turning on its axis. Rotating and revolving. And our huge galaxy is not just sitting here in space. Our entire galaxy is moving. Earth's ozone protects from harmful rays, now we know, don't we? Our Milky Way galaxy with its 400 billion stars is 100,000 light years across. You get in a spaceship, you'd have to travel 100,000 years across it. It's 588 septillion miles across our galaxy. Have you gone that far? Shake your head that way. 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years to get across our galaxy. Muhammad Ali said he was so fast he could turn the lights out and be in bed and covered up before it got dark. No. 186,000 miles a second for 100,000 years to get from one side of our galaxy to the other. How big is it? Well, you take 186,000 miles times 60. 11,160,000 miles. In 1 minute. Fast. Multiply that number times 60, and that's how far you've gone in an hour. 669 million miles in an hour. For a piece, isn't it? Then you multiply that times 24, the number of miles in a day. You getting the idea? And you multiply that times 365, and that's the miles. Then you multiply that times 100,000. And that's how you get your 588 septillion. I thought somebody said that was just like a little kid making up numbers. That's it. And that's just our galaxy, as we'll see. David said, Psalm 19, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The word firmament means an endless expanse. How do you know to use that? Endless expanse. That is firmament. When you read in the beginning, God separated it from the firmament. endless expanse. The Andromeda Galaxy and its companions, the nearest galaxy to Earth, is about 2 million light years away. That's the nearest one. We're small in comparison. The constellation Hercules, we see hundreds of blotches, so very far away. Is 100 billion stars, or each is a galaxy with its 100 billion stars, these hundreds of blotches. Our scientists tell us there's 2,500,000 known galaxies, and ours is small in comparison to many of them. Astronomers estimate over a trillion galaxies, each with billions of stars. When you look up in the sky on a clear night, what do you can just barely see. Somebody tried to count them. Somebody got 990 some. Guy said, no, I got 1,002. Did you ever try to count them? Impossible. That's why God told Abraham that his descendants would be as numberless as what? Stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. Psalm 147 and verse 4, he telleth the number of stars and he calleth them all by their names. Impossible for you, but not for our God. Indeed, how great thou art. Our sun, earth and moon with 247,000 miles could fit inside the sun, even if the sun had a wall 100,000 miles thick. We'd bounce around inside our sun. That's how big our sun is. It is 1,300,000 times larger than Earth. Just the right size, just the right place. One star in the constellation Orion, and you can look this up, you can Google it, and you can see some of these stars. You can't even see our sun. They are so big, our sun is just a little pinprick in comparison to their size. It's unbelievable. Antares and the constellation Scorpio, 400 million miles in diameter. You get this thing, how great thou art? Theories of the origin of the matter. Here's men again. Here's the first one. Here's this huge spit. We have today. Shut the lights off. Let's go home. Really? Men? Are they fools or what? What question doesn't that answer? Big blob come from? Always was. Here he is, the planetesimal. An intruder star from somewhere else in our galaxy came near the sun, and as it did, the gravitational forces that were generated produced tidal forces that tore material out of the sun, which became the solar system. Our solar system just pulled apart from the sun. Okay, let's give them that. Okay, if our Earth came from the sun, where did our water come from? It was pulled from the sun. You think there's any water on the sun? And we're the only planet in our solar system that has water. Oh, yeah, makes good sense to me. But when you're grabbing for straws, this is what you will do. You will come up with such theories as this. What doesn't it answer? Where'd the intruder star originate? The one that got closer to the sun and caused all these things to pull out from the sun. Had just an afterthought. Where'd our galaxy and water and gravitational forces come from? And again, where'd their sun come from? Unanswerable questions for them. You heard of the Big Bang? Did you know, I heard not long ago, that there are still vibrations out in space from the collision of those two huge planets? Imagine how big they'd had been to make all the stars, the innumerable host of the stars in all the galaxies. What doesn't this answer? Where'd the two giant planets come from that collided? And what are the chances they're going to collide? And would all the pieces be round? Would they? Did you ever drop something? Well, up, they're all the same shape. Nope. What keeps all of this from colliding? Huh? Can't have a design, they say. Because if they're designed, there had to be a designer. Like you know, as simple as this is, I couldn't make it so it would stand. But a carpenter said, this is no problem. Not any real problem to make a chair for those who know how. Easy. But this, the systems inside your body that you don't even see, that you just take for granted, that are going to continue working day and night. How great thou art indeed. Another theory is the ancient astronaut. All we see and are is the result of astronauts from other galaxies or other parts of our galaxy whose creative activity is revealed in us. You know the men from Mars thing? They came. That's where we came from. Where are they if they're so intelligent? Why do we not see? Oh, we have UFOs. Oh, yeah. Why doesn't that answer? Where do the other galaxies and astronauts originate? And they had to come from somewhere. Or from that primordial soup. Last of all, in the theory situation, continuous generation. Matter is constantly being generated in the cosmos. The process by which this creation from nothing, their words, is taking place is not identified. They don't know. But out there somewhere, life is being created. Yep, shut the lights off and go home. Because like a little mountain spring bubbling up, we may not know the origination, but because there's water coming down from the mountain, we know that it has to be coming from somewhere. So just like life, it's got to be bubbling up out in space somewhere. Oh, yeah. Has to have an origin, and so that's where it comes from. But like the missing link, you'd think they would have solved the problem by now. They'd found it by now. But anything is better than believing in God, because if you believe in God, there's going to be a judgment day. We can't have that. I don't want to be held accountable. You know, like closing your eyes, like a ostrich, which I heard they don't do, literally, bury their head in the sand. Does that make the enemy go away? You can't see me now because my head's buried. Really? Or saying, well, we came from someplace, somewhere, somehow, from nothing. Okay, there's no God. Oh, boy, I thought you had me for a minute with that Bible and all those things. I thought for sure there was a God, but boy, that, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, whew. Scared me for a while. We know where we came from, don't we? Sure we do. Internal evidence is the suspension of the earth. Men have many different theories. You know what the Hindus say? Earth is on the back of four giant elephants standing on the back of a giant turtle who was swimming in a sea of milk. Well, they had to add these other things because somebody asked, the earth is on the back of four giant elephants. Well, what are they standing on? Well, they said, well, they're standing on the back of a giant turtle. Well, what's the turtle in? Well, he's in swimming in a sea of milk with four giant elephants on it holding the earth. Intelligence? Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Japanese say, we began earth on the back of a giant catfish. A giant catfish. And that was before they flew out off earth and saw that there was nothing holding us up. The Greeks, Atlas. You've seen these weightlifting places with a man holding up the earth? That's where that comes from. And the storms come from, they say, when he's swatting at the fleas and the flies. Imagine the size of those fleas and flies. The suspension of the earth, again, God says, Job 26:7, he stretches out the earth stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon what? You talk about nothing. We know there's no string up there to cut, don't we? We're not being balanced on some totem pole, are we? That was written 4,000 years ago. Lucky guess. Nobody had been off the earth, had they? Nobody had flown, had they? Which is correct? Some of these theories or God? Bible medicine? Moses was educated in Egypt but didn't follow their medical practices. They practiced bloodletting. The disease was in the blood. You go to the doctor, you're sick. What do we know now? George Washington got pneumonia, bad cold. Bled him, killed him. Doctors, when they found out what they were murdering people, didn't know it, thought they were helping by bleeding them. The barber pole, you went to the barber, he had the sharp razor, cut you, bleed, dropped your poison blood dropping. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? How did Moses know? How did he know? Just lucky guessing. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That was before my modern scientists and doctors now, wasn't it? For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Lucky guess? No. Recently discovered that leprosy was spread through the breath. Recently, last century. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry.
Unclean, unclean.
Is that what he meant? Unclean. No. Listen. Unclean! Why? You want it? I got leprosy. You want it? How you doing? No, you want me.
Cover it.
Why did they cover their upper lip? Hi. Moses knew through God's inspiration, you can get it from my breath. And yet our geniuses just found it out. Really? How did Moses know these things? Bible prophecy. Let's just so much. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. God said in Deuteronomy, you know what they did to the false prophets? They stoned them. Deuteronomy 13. Would that stop false prophets, false teachers today? Prove what you are preaching by the scriptures. Sprinkling babies? Baptism not essential? Instrumental music and worship? Prove it. If it's not in the book, you're going to be stoned. And not 10 years from now, after 100 lawyers and millions of dollars have been spent on you in some cushy prison, you're going to die today by stoning. Want to dare to preach something false? Have at it. Birthplace of Jesus. Did the prophet? No. Bethlehem, Ephrata. There were two Bethlehems. Got the right one. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus always was. He's God. Not the Father, but God the Son, isn't he? But in what city in Bethlehem? When Herod wanted to know, they told him, well, the prophet said Bethlehem. That's where he'll be born. Our Mormon friend's book says in Jerusalem he was born. Ask him about that. Well, they say, oh, Bethlehem was a suburb. No. 5-6 miles away from Jerusalem. Or from Bethlehem. Not in within the walls, or not near the city of Jerusalem. Who's wrong? What if the Bible had said Jerusalem and he was born in Bethlehem? Would the critics have had a field day? Yes. Yes. Again, as we said, Matthew points it out again when Herod was looking. And we need to move along. And the Book of Mormon, as we said, Jerusalem. In Alma 7 and verse 10, there's the proof. Behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem. I've got a Book of Mormon, and when they come knocking on my door, I've got a little paper clip on that page along with about 100 others. Whoops. And their answer was, oh, Bethlehem was a suburb. No. They had been taught. They know that you're going to ask that question. And so their answer is some. They have answers, but they don't make any sense. Make sense to them. Just pray, they tell me, that ask God if Joseph Smith was a prophet. I say I did, and he isn't. God told me he wasn't a prophet. Simple, isn't it? When you know the truth. Again, we've hit enough on here. Isaiah prophesied that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The version says a woman shall conceive and bear a son. No. A woman having a baby? Boy, what a sign that is. That their problem is, the Bible says a virgin. And Mary herself said, that's impossible. I've not had relations with a man. Joseph knew. Mm-mm. He could have put her away. And if somebody says, well, what do you think it is? Well, now we can find out through the pictures, can't we? Boy, girl, back in our day. And I've always said, what do you think it is? I said, it's a baby. And I've been right every time. Isaiah chapter 2, the prophecy of the kingdom. Oh, folks. You see where we can go with this? How the Old Testament prophets prophesied that all nations shall flow into it. Not just the Jews, but all nations. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And from what city? From what city will it come? All nations shall flow. Many people shall go and say, come, let us go to the house of, to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Israel, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from 750 years before it occurred. It was prophesied. Tell me what's going to happen in 27. What year, 700 years from now. Yeah. Can you tell me? And tell me what city it's going to happen in? Isaiah did. Folks, this is a faith-building lesson. And like I said, we could keep you here till midnight talking about such things as this. Where did Peter preach that first sermon? What city was it? Bethlehem, Antioch, Thessalonica? Oh, close. Nope, it was Jerusalem, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Wasn't it? When God says it, that settles it. Again, we'll just stop here. You've listened patiently, and I think we've proved our point. Man's wisdom is pure foolishness in all of this, isn't it? Isn't it? Shake your head this way. Yes. Yes. Here's the book of books. This is it. We need to keep our noses in it. I know what the world thinks. I know what the world says. Bunch of Bible pounders. You know, when I was a teenager, you know what every boy wanted to be like? Thank you very much. Elvis Presley. Wanted to wear his kinds of clothes, collars that he wore. Fix their hair like him. Want to be like him? Be where he is now? Anyone? They called him the king. He even denied that. But we know who the king is, don't we? And we know that our heart is going to stop beating one day. Yes, sir, it is. Sooner, maybe, than later. And you don't have to be 70 to die. You read the obituary column in the newspaper. Teenagers, 30-year-old, 50. You know what we're not assured of? Getting home tonight. Arising in the morning. When we say goodbye, I've said goodbye to people, and it was. It was. To my folks. One day I said goodbye, and that was the last time they heard it. We don't know. But we do know that we're going to leave this earth. And whatever it is that's keeping me from heaven, I better cut it out. It will not be worth it. I will not in hell look back and say, man, what fun I had for those few years. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a what? A season. Brief period. And you look at me at 70 years of age, you young people, and you think, my goodness, you better have your plans ready. We do. Yeah. But it can happen to all. And my dad told me, he said, when you're 40, you're planning on what you're going to do when you're 50. When you're 50, or you're 60. When you're 60, what are you going to do when you're 70? When you're 70, what will you be doing when you're 80? Be careful. Wisdom in that, isn't it? I need to make myself ready. Prepared to meet the God who can do all the things we talked about and create what He did. An earth that hangs on nothing. Eyes that see. Ears that hear. And just think about your wonderful, David said, fearfully and wonderfully made body. But we have a soul that's more, that's eternal. That when this earth is on fire, and all the planets and all the galaxies are gone, our soul will continue. Let's make it heaven. If you need, as Saul did, to arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away, do that tonight. Most of us in this audience have done that, and I'm happy for you. And it pleases the Lord when we do. But if we sin, we've fallen away, and we need to return. Let it be now while we stand again, while we sing.